Hey guys, and welcome back to an episode of Mastering Mind and Movement. I am so excited. I am your host, Coach Ashley, and I am just so excited to be here just to tell you a little bit about myself. I really teach women to go from surviving to living and thriving, being your wealthy and healthy best self. Before we dive into the episode, just to tell you a little bit about myself, I really teach about bio-individuality, nutrition, movement, intuition, meditate to lose weight, healing through food, subconscious revamp, muting your inner mean girl, and being the best partner to yourself to really enrich your inner bitch. If you are ever interested in jumping in one of my programs or one-on-one coaching, please feel free to reach out to me at coach-ash.com. You can find me on there. I am on Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, wherever you are, I may be there. So let's get straight into the episode. I know you're gonna freaking love it. I have a really special guest for you guys. Her name is Trisha Nelson. Trisha Nelson has lost over 50 pounds by identifying and healing the underlying causes of her emotional eating. She has spent over 30 years researching the hidden causes of the food addiction. Trisha is an emotional eating expert and author of the number one best-selling book, Heal Your Hunger, 7 Simple Steps to End Emotional Eating Now. She is also the host of a popular podcast, The Heal Your Hunger Show. Trisha is a TEDx speaker, a highly regarded coach, and has been featured on The List, NBC, CBS, KTLA, Fox, and Discovery Health. I can't wait for this interview. So, Trisha, thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And I would love to know, what is your journey with emotional eating and how did it lead you to start Heal Your Hunger?
Yeah, well, it goes way back. Okay. So I think I was an emotional eater from the get-go and of course didn't think that. I didn't even know what those words meant. I thought, well, I just like food. But after I was introduced to the idea of emotional eating, I noticed that my eating was different than a lot of other people's and that I tended to be drawn to really carby foods. Like I'd go out with to lunch with my friends and they'd order sandwich. We'd all order sandwich and it would come with fries and they would eat their sandwich and pick up their fries. And I would eat my fries and pick up my sandwich and be like, you know, why? And I'd look at them like they were like Martians because they would leave French fries on their plate. And I think, how could you ever leave a French fry on your plate? So right? Yeah, exactly. So I was definitely different. I was different from my friends. I also, you know, gained weight starting in adolescence. And by age 20, I was 50 pounds overweight. And that was super miserable for me. I hated being overweight. It was really hard. I had a roll of fat on my tummy that would imagine cutting off, like you cut off fat off the side of a steak. I'm like, it's just fat. But, you know, thank God I didn't try that. And, you know, just some crazy thoughts, like maybe I'll get a disease where I automatically lose weight without having a diet. So some pretty kind of desperate thoughts, which really was representative of, you know, how out of control I felt because I would diet, like I knew how to diet. And when you go on a diet, like you're excited, like I'm doing it, feeling good, looking good. But then after a couple weeks, it would get so hard. And then I just feel like I can't do this. I absolutely cannot do this anymore. And I'd bust out and binge. So that was a cycle for me. And I did, my weight cycled a lot. I was a yo-yo dieter. So I'd be like up 30, down 10, up 20. And I had about 5 different sizes of pants in my closet because I never knew what size I'd be. So that's kind of how it went for me. And I did get to that desperate spot where I thought, I can't do this for the rest of my life. Like I can't do the up and down thing. And thankfully, I met somebody who showed me how to heal at a deeper level, you know, because it really wasn't about the food. And so that turned everything around for me. And I'm so grateful that it did because I've been blessed to be able to be in a thin body for a few decades now. And so, and then what I did is I mean, I still practice what I did to lose the 50 pounds and keep it off. And so I codified it kind of in a step-by-step process that I teach my clients now. And it's really a process specifically for overcoming emotional eating Because people know how to lose weight. They know nutrition. Like if you've been struggling with your weight, you kind of learn what's good, what's not good. And it's not rocket science. Like typically salads are better than pizza, you know? So it's really important that we go deeper and deal with the emotional connection with food. So that's what I did to heal. And that's what I do. You know, that's the system that I teach. The system I practice even now is the system I teach my clients to overcome emotional eating.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. I've definitely had my fair share of yo-yo dieting, having different sizes in the closet, not knowing where I'm going to be. So I definitely feel you on that. And I think, yeah, the biggest thing was like, I would eat my fries first. And I'm like,
yeah,
why is no one eating their fries? And then like small habits like that, like probably should start with the meal first, then have some fries.
Yeah. Or dessert.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh. And I love how you're like, I had to get to the root cause of why I was doing this. Cause that's like what I love teaching my clients too, is like, if you're doing this yo-yo dieting or with exercise, there's something deeper going on, and that psychologically can really start to take a toll on you. And you can feel super defeating after a while.
Absolutely. So discouraging. It's like, you know, same shit, different day.
Yep, exactly. And that kind of leads into my second question of why do, you know, 98% of diets fail?
Yeah, isn't that a crazy statistic? And it's really, I mean, there's just dozens of studies that have, you know, show that diets have an abysmal success rate. And it's really because, you know, diets treat the symptom, right? And so they treat the weight, you know, but my experience is overweight is a symptom of overeating, and overeating is a symptom of what's eating me. So that's, and I know you know this, it's like, that's what really we have to deal with. And if I'm going to the refrigerator five times of an evening, I have to stop and think what's really going on. And for people who don't really relate to the idea of being an emotional eater, I have a couple things to offer. One is I have a quiz on my website. It's a free quiz that'll teach people if they're an emotional eater or a food addict or somewhere in between, because food addiction is just like the high end of the spectrum. And I really feel like we're all emotional eaters. Like, I just like to indict everybody, you know, like we all have the wiring for emotional eating. You know, think of a mother breastfeeding her child. It's an emotional experience. It's a connecting experience. So it's not bad to have an emotional, you know, connection with food. It's what keeps us living, right? And subsisting. But for people like me, I took it too far. And I would go down the rabbit hole of binge eating and feeling really bad about myself and bad about my weight and trying to cover myself up in black stretchy yoga pants all the time. So if somebody takes that quiz, they'll find out where they are on that spectrum. And the spectrum is really qualified by two things. One is control, like how much control does somebody have? You know, can they course correct if they go overboard, you know, on a cruise? And I don't mean overboard, like over the side railing. But I mean, I just realized what I was saying. I'm like, not that kind of overboard. But, you know, you go on a cruise and you eat too much, you drink too much, you gain 5 pounds, you feel yucky. You had a great time, but then it's like paying a price later. Mm-hmm. So somebody can just say, oh, I'm going to cut out sweets and jog, you know, extra 5 miles for 2 weeks, you know, and boom, that 5 pounds is off. That's somebody with a lot of control. You know, they can course correct versus me. Whereas once I started eating, it was hard to pull back, you know, and it could go on for 2 weeks or 2 months, you know, and then boom, I've put on 20 pounds. So that's somebody on the higher end of the spectrum. And the other way of knowing where you are on the spectrum is by consequences. Like, how many consequences do you have? Is it 5 pounds after a cruise? Or is it, you know, other things like you get depressed, you know, it affects your mood, it affects your ability to be social, affects your sex life, you don't want to be touched or seen with the lights on, you know, so there's so many different ways that being overweight affects us and our mood and our productivity at work, you know, or show up, you know, energy. And so joint pain, I mean, the whole thing, inflammation. Somebody who has more consequences or mounting consequences, that's really a sign of the addiction as well. So that's the quiz is one thing I want to offer. And the other thing is something I call the PEP test. And this is a way to start observing, one's emotional connection with food. So PEP is an acronym. It stands at PEP. So the first P stands for painkiller. And this is kind of a way to see what food is doing for us. And we already know what it does to us, but let's talk about what it does for us. So painkiller is, when we have emotional pain or we're uncomfortable because there's hard things happening, we try to take the edge off with food. And that's why the carbs and the sugar and the fatty foods are the ones we're drawn to, because salads don't kill the pain. It's the heavier foods. We want to deaden our feelings. So we use food as a painkiller. The E stands for escape. We use food as a form of escape because my experience is overeaters tend to be overfeelers. Like, we just have a lot going on. We're also overthinkers. And so our minds are very busy, overthinking things and beating ourselves up. And basically, we want to just check out of our brain, and that's why food goes so well with TV, binge foods with TV, because it's like, take me away, like, just take me out of my reality. Right. And the last P in PEP stands for punishment, which is counterintuitive because we think of, yummy foods as our reward. But, the way I ate when I went overboard and ended up feeling really yuck, like, just hating myself and really hurting and canceling, dates with friends and turning my video off on Zoom because I didn't want people to see how bloated I was. That's more of a punishment. And it's like, why am I doing that to myself? And I think it goes back to, the fact that we do feel guilty really easily as women, and as especially as emotional eaters. Like, we're just always, monitoring ourselves, criticizing ourselves, thinking we're bad, or we've done it wrong or whatever. And then, we end up beating ourselves up, and food is a good way to do that. And food's really a good way to do all have all three, so again, the PEP is painkiller, using food as a painkiller, an escape, and a form of punishment. They're all three kind of built in, and so it works really well. But of course, we end up paying a big price for that.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I will definitely be checking out that quiz. That seems really incredible. And I want all my listeners to go check out her website also. Like, it's so beautifully done. And I love the quiz pops up pretty quickly. So you definitely can't miss it. You definitely have to look it up. And I would love to know, I know we touched a little bit about this because they all kind of like blend together, but what is the difference between an emotional eater and a food addict?
Yeah, well, that's really it. It's like, it's a spectrum. So to me, here's the deal. The low end is emotional eating, high end is food addiction. Somebody, we're all somewhere. If you take the quiz, you'll know exactly where you are in that spectrum. Not all food addicts, no, all food addicts are emotional eaters. We just emotionally eat to the point where we have major consequences and no control. But not all emotional eaters are food addicts. If you're on the lower end of the spectrum, you can course correct. You can kind of have a little bit of semblance of control. So that's really the difference. And but it is a spectrum, and I think we all, as I said, we're all on that spectrum.
Yeah, for sure. My biggest thing for a long time was sugar. Like, I didn't even realize it. Like, I realized, like, my dad is so, he loves sugar too. Like, if it's not ice cream, it's fruit. And it took a long time for me to realize, like, wait, everything I'm eating is sugar. And starting to slowly dial it back was a
Yeah.
huge thing for me.
Yeah, sugar's highly addictive. I mean, physically addictive. Like, alcohol is to the alcoholic, sugar is to the sugar addict. And I was a sugar addict as well. And when I ate sugar, sugar's all I wanted to eat. I'm like, I don't want a salad. I want more sweet, please. And so it has that highly physically addictive quality. And so if you're trying to eat cleaner, but you have sugar in what you're eating, you're going to have a hard time and cravings are going to play a part. And then we beat ourselves up because we can't follow, you know, the food plan, but check the ingredients. You know, I do something called the Quit Sugar Challenge quarterly, and that really helps people just clear sugar out of their diet in 5 days. And we do it in community and it's really fun, but it's like, it's a serious substance in terms of its highly addictive quality.
Yeah, and especially I would say in America, so much of our food has hidden sugar that people don't even realize. Like, you really want to look at the nutrition label. And things like, I would say, like a marinated chicken that is like prepackaged has like a ton of sugar in it that you wouldn't even realize. It's crazy.
No question. Yeah, and there's like over 80 names for sugar. So they not only put sugar in things, but they hide the sugar with different names. And I teach all that in my challenge, because it's like, we got to know, otherwise we're going to be duped.
Yeah, exactly. So how does one differentiate between emotional hunger and physical hunger?
Oh yeah. They feel so similar. I've been doing this work for 30 years, but they're still so like, sometimes I can feel like I'm physically hungry and I'm not. And so here's what that's after all this work. So, you know, it's amazing. Like, I can even have my tummy growl when it's emotional hunger and not physical. And so here's what I do. And I offer, or I suggest something in my work called 3-meal magic, which is eating 3 meals with nothing in between, because in between is where you start to identify your emotions. You know, if we're snacking all day long, we're numbed out and we don't know what our emotions are. So people will say to me, oh, I'm not an emotional eater. I'm like, well, how do you know? Because if you're snacking all day, you don't know what your emotions are. You don't even know that you're eating over your emotions. So, you know, that allows us, time between the meals allows us to kind of identify what's going on, but it allows for hunger pangs too, you know, and my experience is we got to get accustomed to feeling some hunger, you know, in order to heal our hunger. And so when I'm at my computer and it's 10 o'clock in the morning, you know, and all of a sudden I think I'm starving, you know, I have a little conversation with myself. And if I've had a good breakfast, which I always do, I can say, kind of reason with my hungry self and say, you know what, you had a healthy breakfast 2 hours ago, like chances are you're not starving, you know, so what's going on? And then I can kind of do some sleuthing work. You know, again, am I looking to kill some pain? Am I looking to distract myself from something in my reality I don't want to deal with? Or am I beating myself up about something? So it's really important to me to have that space between the meals, so you can kind of tease it out and realize that I'm not that hungry and I probably can wait a couple more hours until lunchtime, you know, and I think that the stability and consistency of the 3 meals helps kind of calm us down, because when we're going into starvation mode with kind of crazy, you know, starving diets and that kind of thing, going long times, hours between meals, like intermittent fasting, which in a concept and through the science can look good, you know, but if you're an emotional eater, you got to be careful of going too long and having kind of those flags go up, like I'm starving, you know? And so I don't go 16 hours between meals. I just don't do it. Maybe 12, you know, dinner at 6, breakfast at 6 or 7, you know, in the morning. But other than that, I don't want to, you know, sound the alarms that, you know, I'm going to die because I don't have my food. And even though that sounds crazy, my experience is as emotional eaters, we do, you know, have that deep lying belief, because food has saved our life. Like as a kid, you know, oftentimes we have trauma, or we grew up with alcoholism, or there's a lot of instability in our family. Food was our grounding force, you know? And so it's highly, you know, built into us that food saved our life, you know? And at one time it did. I'm glad I had food as a kid, because I didn't have other ways to deal with trauma, you know? And so it's just really important to know that those alarms can sound and that can cause binge eating. So I just like the stability and groundedness of the 3 meals. Just, it's sort of like, I'm just taking care of myself. It's like my sweet little girl. I'm like, hey, you're going to get to eat again. And that way I can tease out if it's, you know, like physical or emotional, and then obviously not act on it when it's emotional, and just know I'll get to eat again.
Yeah, I love that. Just touching on your inner child and being like, you are okay, you are safe. And
yeah,
I've had my fair share. Like, I was bullied as a child, and I was like, you know what sounds good? That marshmallow fluff in the pantry.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I love that. Is there more to emotional eating than just eating too much for emotional reasons?
Yeah. So, you know, people often think, again, it's about the food, but my experience is that emotional eaters have kind of a predetermined way of even acting in life. You know, again, it goes way back, but I've done a lot of research on this, and I developed what I call the anatomy of the emotional eater, which are 24 personality traits that make up the emotional eater's personality. And the thing about the anatomy of the emotional eater is that, you know, these are traits that have nothing to do with food. So, but they lead to overeating. So they, these traits, the way we show up in these ways, create stress that we stress eat over. So, mm-hmm. you know, instead of just fixing our diet or trying to eat clean by hook or by crook, we got to dig in and say, how am I creating stress that drives me to the refrigerator? And I'll tell you, one of the top traits of the anatomy of the emotional eater is people pleasing, you know? And I just have never met an emotional eater that usually that wasn't a people pleaser. And I think this does go back to our childhood. You know, again, if you grew up with some kind of trauma or bullying or, you know, alcoholism or something, mental illness, you get good at being good. You get good at being good. You get good at people pleasing, because otherwise you get in trouble, you know? And so we get really good at it. And it's a survival skill as a kid, but then we bring it into our adult life and it backfires on us, because we're always people pleasing. We're taking on more than we should. You know, we're doing other people's job. We're looking for the attagirls by burning the candle at both ends, overworking, you know, overdoing. And then we're not only burned out, but we're pissed off because people are never as pleased as we expect them to be. Like, I'm like, wait, thank you. That's it. Yeah. You know, I killed myself for this project, you know? And so the combination of being pissed off and burned out leads to overeating. Like, it's just a perfect prescription for having a binge, the I deserve it binge, I call it. So it's really important to watch for this. So if you just go on a diet, but you don't change how you live, you're going to be back in the same place. Another trait in my experience is racing mind. Overeaters tend to be overthinkers, like I said, and we have to do something to calm ourselves down. This is why carbs are so seductive for us, because they do give us that serotonin calming effect. Well, we have to get that in some other way if we don't want to be eating like French fries all day, you know? And so meditation, writing, journaling, reading spiritual literature, these things will bring us down, breathing exercises. We have to do something else to throw off, you know, the stress of a busy mind, you know? And so again, these are things that we can do to change how we live, which will directly affect how we eat.
Yeah. Wow. You have taught me some things about myself. I'm like, okay, people pleasing, some childhood trauma, feeling like I didn't hear enough of, you know, thank yous, because, you know, I'm an emotional person. I'm like, oh, I'm learning a lot today. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing your time and your knowledge of 30 years of emotional eating. It's been so great to have you. Do you have anything you'd love to share with my audience? What your any courses or anything you have going on?
Yeah. So I have a podcast as well, which is called The Heal Your Hunger Show. And I go way deeper on the emotional eating stuff. And so that's a really great resource for people. I also have a Facebook group called The Secret Sauce to End Emotional Eating. So so that's really cool if people want to kind of be with their tribe of emotional eaters, because I find that it's really hard to do this without community with other emotional eaters, because it's kind of a weird thing to be powerless over a cookie, you know? And so... Yeah. When you're with other people, it's easier. So that's on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, Trisha Nelson_@Nelson. And I do, as I said, do a quarterly quit sugar challenge, and you can learn about that on my website. But first things first, I'd say take that quiz on the website, the free quiz. It's like a 2-minute quiz. Find out what your score is and where you are on the spectrum of emotional eating, and then we can go from there.
Awesome. Yeah. So everybody, I will be sharing all of her links in the description. Look out for those quizzes, her social media platforms, and all of that great stuff. So thank you so much.